Shalom Aleichem, welcome everyone, as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Nasai. The beginning of the Parsha, as you certainly noticed, begins with the counting of the B'nai Gershon, one of the three Levium families. Anybody who's Maver Sedra is certainly puzzled by the fact that there are three Levium families, and they're counted first Kohath, then Gershon, then Merari. But that the breakup of the Parshiyos interrupts the counting. In other words, we have the counting of the family of Kohath in Bamidbar, and then at the beginning of this week's Parsha Nasai, the counting of the other two Levian families, Gershon and Merari. Very strange that the breakup of the Parshiyos would be done this way, specifically because these are long Parshiyos, and certainly each Parsha has what to lend to the other. Kohath could have been here, Gershon and Merari could have been there. It seems like a very strange spot to break up the family. Rechaim Kanievsky, in his Time of the Crow, writes that since Gershon was really the Bechor, and being the Bechor, he should have been first. However, Kohath merited being the ones that carried the Urim. Since they carried the Urim, they had the more important job, they're counted first. So Kohath actually precedes Gershon, despite the fact that Gershon is the Bechor. As a consolation prize, so to speak, Gershon at least got to be the beginning of Parshas Nasai. So this is a nod to Gershon, who are Choshev people anyhow. I mention this because this is another example of a Tmiya Gedola, an incredible question, which I have pointed out on numerous occasions, that throughout Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim, it seems that the Bechor, the eldest, the firstborn, the one who you would think would be the most chashuv, the most successful of all of the children, consistently seems to fail to be the most chashuv, the most successful, the one that makes it. And this is something that we have seen repeatedly from Kayin, and all the way down through the generations. Shem was not the oldest son of Noach, the Avos were not Bechorim, the Bechor Reuven lost the Bechorah, Ephraim and Menashe too lost the Bechorah to Ephraim, and this seems to go throughout the history of Klal Yisrael. The greatest people typically were not the Bechorim. Not Moshe Rabbeinu was not a Bechor, not Yeshua was not a Bechor, Shaul was not a Bechor, David HaMelech was not a Bechor, Shlomo HaMelech was not a Bechor. And consistently, throughout the history of Klal Yisrael, it seems that the Bechorim did not make it. The whole institution of Bechorim didn't make it either, because the Bechorim lost their special status to the Kayanin, the sin of the eagle. It seems very strange that despite the fact that we give a nod to Bechorim, Bechorim consistently are not the best, the most important. As a matter of fact, I asked my class if they could come up with a Bechor that they could remember, and they came up with names like Kairach and Parai, certainly not people that we want to remember in a positive way. And therefore, it needs an explanation, and Gershon Kohath is another example where, despite the fact that I know nothing about negative about Gershon, but Kohath apparently was the more chashuv and got the better appointment, the better position. Let's move on to an absolutely beautiful vart that I saw in a kuntress over Pesach. And I apologize for not knowing the name of the kuntress, but it's a beautiful. In Birchas HaMazayim, we say, "B'amarei milamdu aleihem v'yoleinu zichos." We say in heaven, let them be loimei zichos, let them speak in a positive way, find merit for Klal Yisrael. Now, that's a very beautiful thing to say. It's, however, very unusual. Usually our davening is either a praise of Hashem or a request, a direct bakasha. And here, we have something that's similar, perhaps, to what we say in Yamin Leroyim. We talk about the heavenly angels learning merit for Klal Yisrael. It's strange that B'amarei milamdu should be so unique and certainly calls for an explanation. And the explanation of it was the following. It says in Masechta Shabbos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asked by the heavenly angels. It says in Parshas Nasai, Yisa Hashem panav elecha panav berchus kayin. Yisa Hashem panav elecha basically means, may God look at you favorably. And the question is that God doesn't play favorites. It says, Asher lo yisa panav. God does not play vagaries. So what is it, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha? And to that, Rabbanu Shalom answered. He said, look at the Jewish people. I commanded them to bench the Sefer Brachos HaMazon when they eat Kadesh Sviya, when they eat enough to be satisfied. And they were machmer on themselves, and they bench even when they eat only a Kazayas or a Kabeya. Because they behave in such a wonderful way, I am, they say, Panim, I sort of play favorite to them because they have earned being my favorite. And therefore, Kaviyahu, God gives to Klal Yisrael at times that Klal Yisrael does not otherwise deserve. Getting back to Bamor and Yilamdu, when we say Birchas HaMazon, most of the time, it's not a benching deraisa. Most of the time, it's the Birchas HaMazon described in this discussion. At that time, when we're benching, we say to Hashem, let's keep to that promise. In heaven, let there be Malamed Zchus on all of us. A beautiful explanation. Even more beautiful, when we look at the Birchas Kainim in the Siddur. As you know, in the Siddur, there are psukim that are attached to each word of Birchas Kainim. These are the psukim that the Ramah says we should not say, and most of us do not say it. Nevertheless, these psukim are somehow attached to the word. Every word, Yivarechacha, has one pasuk. Hashem, one pasuk. Yishmerecha has one pasuk. The word Yisa, the word which we're discussing now, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, the one that talks about God looking at Klal Yisrael in a favorable way. The word Yisa has two psukim. Listen to the psukim. Yisa bracha meis Hashem utzadokam lakei yishenu umatzachim yisechotayv ve'enei elokim ve'odam. One pasuk for Taylor, one for Mishlei. These are the two psukim in Bamar and Milandu. Aleihem aleinu zechus. These are the two psukim which are mentioned, on which the Bamar and Milandu nusach is based. Therefore, it fits so beautifully, such an insight into what we've been saying since we're little children without thinking. Now we can think about it, understand it. Hashem is a big yitzhar not to bench, and not to bench properly. When we do bench properly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a schus for us. So, one insight on Gershon, beautiful vart on Bamar Yilamdu. I'd like to end with a Shekel Torah from the yeshiva days, and maybe it'll bring back a memory of the yeshiva day and the yeshiva topic. The topic is something called Shibuda de Rav Nosson, something we have in Kiddushin Daf Tezvav briefly, and in the Nezikah Masechtas as well. We learned the concept of Shibuda de Rav Nosson, which I'll explain momentarily, from Parshas Nasai. In Parshas Nasai, in Perek Hei, Pesach Zion, the language that the Torah uses is that when a person is paying back, he's got to pay back, and he pays to the one that he's obligated to pay. It's like about someone who took money improperly, and he gives back to the one he's obligated to pay. Chazal dashim from this, it doesn't say give to the one from whom you stole. It says, give to the one that you're obligated to pay. Well, who's the one I'm obligated to pay? The chiddush here is that the one you're obligated to pay may not be the one you stole from, and that is because of the following rule. If you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, let us say, Reuven owes money to Shimon, Shimon owes money to Levi. Shibuda de Rav Nosson says that Reuven owes money to Levi. Shibuda de Rav Nosson is a rule in the Torah, learned from this posse, that allows the person who's owed money to collect from the person who owes his debtor money. So that, if someone stole from me, I may not be collecting from him. If it's hard to collect from him, I can collect from someone who owes him money. That's the concept of Shibuda de Rav Nosson. It's a Yeshua and Kiddushin is a great kashya. He says, why do I need a pasuk of Shibuda de Rav Nosson? If someone stole from me, he owes me money, I can collect from anything he has. I can collect from his shoes, from his shirt, from his apples, from his car, from his animals, from his home. Of course I can collect from anything he owns. So if he has no money, I can collect from anything he owns. Of course that includes debt, which is owed to him. Why do I need a special pasuk? Masek Vishibuda Rav Nosson. And to that, the Pnei Yeshua responds that it's true. You can collect from him, from things he owns. Shibuda Rav Nosson says, you're not collecting from him. You're collecting directly from the original party. The original party really owes you the money, not through the middleman. When you go through the middleman and you say, I want to take your hat, I want to take your apples, I want to take your sheep, well, had the middleman beat you to it and sold the sheep, you couldn't collect. In the case of a debt, though, says the Pnei Yeshua, if someone owes him money and he owes you money, Shibuda Rav Nosson says the original debtor owes it directly to you. And therefore, even if the middle person is Meichel, he forgives it, it doesn't work. The Meshila doesn't take effect. Meshulchan Aruch and Simen Pei Bav Sif Hei, it says, Ein Shimon Yachol Limchol, the middle person can't be Meichel. And so, I've told you a Shtikul Torah that you undoubtedly heard it sometime in Yeshiva, if you were Zeichet to be in Yeshiva, that Shibuda Rav Nosson states that it's not just that I collect from my debtor, I can take his money, his car, etc., so I can take his debt. No. The debt is automatically mine. It's automatically referred to me. Of course, if I never collect it, then I never collect it, and it goes to Shimon. But otherwise, it's mine. This is what we learn in the yeshiva years, in the lumdis, the heavy lumdis of Shibuda Rav Nosson. Let me set a kasha on this. Let's say someone owes me $100, and I want to go take it from him, and instead of taking from him, I take some, let's say, apples. So I take $100 worth of apples, I get $100 worth of apples. However, what happens if I want to take debt? Now, if the person is paying, I'm getting $100 cash, of course it's $100. But if I'm just getting the debt that's owed to him, that's not worth $100. It's not worth $100 to buy debt. If you want to buy debt, you always buy it at a discount, because you still have to collect it. So Bishlama, if I'm getting the money from the first person, I understand it's worth $100 to me. But if the debt gets automatically assigned to me, it shouldn't be worth the full $100. And this is an old question that we had. Again, the idea to bring to memory some thoughts from yeshiva years. Finally, I want to point out the word Ashtei Asar in the 12 Shavatim. Shtei Asar is 12. The ayin of Ashtei Asar changes it to 11. Normally we'd say Echad Asar, 11. Torah says Ashtei Asar, teaches us something that's called Kol HaMaisif Gareya. Sometimes when you add, you're really taking away. Shtei means 12. Shtei Asar means 12. You add a letter, Ayin, Ashtei Asar, it becomes 11. The Torah is saying there are times but that by adding, you're taking away. Be careful what you add to. Of course we know we're not allowed to add to mitzvahs. We take away. And Ashtei Asar is a lesson that has to do with the number 11. Someday we'll get to a discussion of the number 11. There's something very negative about the number of 11. It's a Maisif Gereya number. And that's why there are never 11 Shvatim. There are 12 Shvatim. If Levi doesn't count, it becomes an Asher Ephraim to keep it at 12. If an Asher Ephraim are one, they Yosef, then Levi counts. Always 12, never 11. The depth of it, we leave for a month of Shabbos and Yitzhak Hashem. And with that, I wish everyone an absolutely wonderful Shabbos. I want to add, we have a triple Mishmar coming up. In other words, Shavuos night, we stay up. Even if it's hard for you to stay up, even if you think you'll fall asleep, go to the Beis Medrash. Learn a Masechta Mishnayos. A mix, part-time in a shiur, part-time in learning. Go to the Beis Medrash. Chazal say, if you fall asleep over a sefer, the drooling, the saliva that comes out of a Talmud Chacham's mouth when he falls asleep over a sefer is Tal HaDechiyah. That's how cool it is to do a Pchiyas HaMesim. Now, I'm not encouraging you to fall asleep and certainly not to drool over a sefer. The Chashiva, so someone who goes to the Beis Medrash, is extraordinary even if he falls asleep. So Shavuos by night, pick yourself up and go to the Beis Medrash. Of course, the second night of Shavuos has become the silent flatbush that we have shiurim there, about a dozen shuls that have second night shiurim, not all night, but shiurim in our shul from 11:15 to 12:15. That's Wednesday night. And then, of course, Thursday night, with Soy Shavuos, a better way to walk away from shuls than, you guessed it, a mishmar, three straight nights of of learning in the middle of the night. What a chus that would be for each of us. Hopefully it'll help us become the Bnei Torah we want to be. Roll up your sleeves, make it happen. Wishing everyone an absolutely wonderful Shavuos. Next Thursday, this broadcast will not be taking place at its regular schedule, but again, come Wednesday night to shul, 11:15 to 12:15, I'll be giving a shiur. Or come Thursday night, and we will have an absolutely wonderful mishmar. I'm sure the cake will be fresh. A good Shabbos and Yom Tov to everybody.